Anyway, so one of the big themes coming up Yom Kippur is that of coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for forgiveness. Let's talk a little bit about that, about different people who have sinned and their way back.
Sorry?
No, just we don't need this source. Anyway, we have two kings, David and Shaul. Look on with me in the Gemaras. So the Gemara references Yuma, Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, that Shaul b'achas v'alsalo, David b'shtayim v'lo alsalo. Shaul made a mistake with one thing, and that caused him to lose the kingdom. David, two things, but David was able to maintain the kingdom. Shaul b'achas mayhi. What was the story with Shaul? That was the ma'aseh to Agag. That was the ma'aseh, the story with Agag, who, of course, when Shaul wanted to destroy, was supposed to destroy Amalek, he did destroy Amalek, sans killing Agag the king, which enabled Amalek to be further perpetrated, you know, to continue, and eventually even have children like Haman, and it's the Amalek that we're still fighting today. But David, and that caused Shaul to be removed from the kingdom. David b'shtayim, David had two different averis, mainly, what were they? D'Uriah, the sin of Uriah, now it's not, which of course is when he sent Uriah to battle, and Bathsheba he took, whatever the exact chet is, it's a discussion, and there's much ink spilled over that, but there was definitely some level of chet involved, v'de'ha'sasa, and it would also came to that of the senses, where David counted up Klal Yisrael when he shouldn't have done it. So, Shaul sins once and he's in trouble, and David sins twice and he continues going ahead, and the Mashiach eventually comes from David. So the question you have to ask yourself is, what's the distinction between the two as to why was Shaul punished for that one aver while David was forgiven for his two avers? Because we could understand what did David HaMelech do to get out of his avera, then that'll help us essentially in this time of year. Just start a minute. Anyway, so the Pasuk in Mishle says the following regarding these chatayim of David and Shaul. It says, Mechasib Sha'ov lo yatzliach, umode v'ozov yeruchim. The one who covers up his sins won't succeed. The one who admits to it and abandons it, then we're going to have mercy. So Chazal explained that the one who covers up, that's referring to Shaul. While the one who admits and abandons his sin, that's referencing David HaMelech. So if you look at the Pesukim, which you don't have in front of you because I'm not so nice, you really see Shaul's, let's examine what happened with Shaul HaMelech. So Shaul HaMelech was commanded to kill all of Amalek. And Shmuel goes over to him and says, no, what happened? So Vayomer Shmuel, ma kol hatzon. You said you killed all of Amalek. What's the sound of the cattle of the flock of sheep? Hazeh ba'oznei v'kol habakar and the cattle asher anochi shomea. So it's a good question. You were supposed to destroy everything, Mr. Shaul, and yet there's still some cattle floating around. There's still some flock of sheep of Amalek. So Vayomer Shaul, me'malaki hevim. They come from the Amalek asher chamal ha'am. Yeah, you know why? Because the nation felt bad for them. Almeitev atzon v'abakar on the cattle and sheep, which are very good. But we're doing it for good reasons. Leman zoveach l'Hashem, in order to bring as a korban the es hayoser hacharon. The rest we've sanctified on some level. Okay, so Shmuel continues asking Shaul's questions. Says, is that what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted of you? Didn't he ask you to destroy all that? And then it continues. Vayomer Shaul Shmuel. He says again, I'm sorry, why do you listen to Hashem? So he gives another reason. Vayomer Shaul Shmuel Asher Shamati b'kol Hashem ve'ilech b'derech Asher Shachuni Hashem. I went the way of God. Ve'hevi ezagad melech amalek v'asamalek echaramti. So he says, I also did something with the king, right? I brought Agag and I brought him back to show as like a trophy. I brought Agag back. They're going to take from all the good stuff. So Shmuel says again, does Hashem want that? And the korbanos kishmo b'kol Hashem, does Hashem want any of this stuff? Right? This is a sin. So finally Shaul caves and says, Chatasi, I've sinned. But look at how he couches it. Ki avarti es pi Hashem v'svarecha, because I didn't listen to the voice of God. Why? He gives a reason. Ki yirei se'asam, because I was scared of the nation, v'eshma b'kolam. And I was scared, and I listened to their voices, meaning there was a lot of peer pressure. He's again trying to kind of weasel, I shouldn't say weasel, because he's a king, but he's justifying a little bit and minimizing his averos that he did, and not blaming himself, but he's blaming other people. David HaMelech, on the other hand, what happened with him? So Nassim comes and gives him a shtickle Musar, gives him a whole Musar shmooze. How could you send Uriah off? He does it in a nice way, with a mushel. So what's David's response? What's David's response? Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, words to live by. Vayomer David al Nasan, Chatasi LaHashem. Period. I've sinned. Vayomer Nasan al David, Gam Hashem Hivir Chatas Lo Thomas. So then Nasan says back to him, okay, Michael Zayn, you're forgiven. Chatasi LaHashem, Shayin. Doesn't add in because I had a taiva for the girl or because I thought Uriah, you have, the Gemara is filled with possible ways that David could have gotten out of it. As to what the nature of the relationship, whether there was a get that was given by Uriah beforehand, there was a get Croesus before he sent him into war, but there's all kinds of different permutations and possibilities that David HaMelech had to get out of this situation, and yet David gives two words, Chatasi LaHashem, finished. Similarly, when it came to the error of the senses, it says, "Vayachlev David, he felt bad." Also, Acharei came, see Persam that he counted the people of the nation, and it says, "Vayomer David al Hashem chatasi ma'od asher asisi." I've sinned a great deal that I've done this. Latashem hiver nasa vonav dachet kineskalti ma'od. So he says, you know, I've gone off the derech a tremendous way. So this is the difference between David and Shaul. Says Rav Nevinzal. In his Sefer. I borrowed it last year from Lewis Wienerker. I remember I found it. I did a search. I knew what I was looking for. I knew somebody had to talk about this. And sure enough, when I did a search for it on Google, I found it in Google Books and that was on Sefer. So I remember, I said, oh, well, who would have that Sefer? So Rabbi Wienerker had the Sefer. So shout out to him. So I read over to him the day before Pesach, the day before Yom Kippur, and I picked up the Sefer. But the idea is a very important idea. The chiluk between Shaul and David is a very simple distinction. Everybody says, but the way Shaul deals with it is he rationalizes, and the way David deals with it, he admits it and moves on. David HaMelech is the winner. He stays on. He becomes the king, and the Mashiach is going to come from Shaul. He's removed from his position. In politics, this is true also, right? What's worse, the crime or the cover-up? It's always the cover-up that's much worse. Everybody, people forgive people who say they're sorry. People never forgive people who try to cover up their sins. It's just like that all the time. Now listen to this nusach we say in Vidoy. Right? What do we say? The Rambam tells us to say the following words. In the Rambam, when he discusses Vidoy, he says, Aval anachnu chaton. Aval. Now, what does the word aval mean? There's a discussion. It really, the origin of this probably is Vayomer Isha Lachiv, when it says when the brothers were discussing with Yosef exactly what they did wrong. So they said to each other at the end of Mikates, it says, "Vayomer Isha Lachiv, Aval Hashem Manachnu Alachinu Asher Einu Tzaras Nafsho Behis Chalnu Eleinu." Right? So it says, "Aval Hashem." But if you look at the Torah, Rashi says, "What does Aval mean there?" So Rashi explains, "In truth, in truth, in truth, we're admitting to what we have done wrong." Aval Hashem Manachnu. So that's where some people say the Rambam got his gears from. That. What you're saying is, in truth, I've done all these things. I'm owning up to it. That's one possibility. But Rabbi Lam gives an unbelievable answer. He said this over 50 years ago in one of his drashas, and it totally resonates with, I think, the common person. What'd he say? Few people ever really want to be a bad guy. Nobody ever wants to do the wrong thing or harm somebody else or do something of ill will. Ella, what happens? We say, what's the big deal if I take a couple extra dollars and not report on my taxes and steal from the government? They're not going to miss it. Or, you know, if I come 5 minutes late to shul, it's really because I need the extra sleep, and if I sleep more, I'll be able to learn later. Or like when it comes to a friend, if I don't call him when he's sick, I say, does he really need me? There, behind each and every misstep that we make, traditionally, there is a rationalization behind it. Aval, but, there's a but that goes involved. We don't do things because, not because we don't want to do the correct thing, but because we justify and say we really are doing the right thing, similar to what Shaul was doing, right? Shaul could have easily have killed Agag, but he said, but this is da-da-da-da-da, he gave 100 different excuses. We want to do the right thing, but we justify not doing the right thing. So perhaps that's what we're doing when we're saying the word Ava. What's the Ava? Ava, we're saying Vidoy for all of the avals that we have said throughout the year. Aval, anachnu chatanu. Yeah, God, we have sinned using the word aval, using the word but. That's been the cause of all of our sins. We could have easily have done that mitzvah or not done that avera, but you know, and you give your excuse. Everybody fills in their own excuse. That's a very personal thing. It's the great rationalizer. It's the great loophole in the laws of decency. So you could do anything that's not right and say it is right because I'm justified, but everybody else is doing it. What's the big deal? Right? Adam Rishon. Let's go through some Averis. Some famous Averis. Adam Rishon, perhaps, right? The first Aver. It's so funny tweet today. It's actually hilarious. Somebody tweeted, he said, we should do tshuva. Like from when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. So somebody responded, naked? Question mark. Anyway. It was pretty funny. But when Adam Rishon, right, what happens? So what does it do? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, why do you eat from the Eitz Hadas? What's Adam Rishon's response? It was her fault. Right? He doesn't own it. Right? There's no, you know, it's your fault. Not only that, he takes it to the next level. He's come for time. He says, listen, this is not my fault. Not only is it not my fault, your fault, God. You're the one who gave it. Like, there was this, like, again, lahavdil, but not lahavdil. It's kind of like, you know, I'd love to be a good person, but God, you gave the internet out, the wrong generation. Like, that's a, you know, high school kids say, what do you want from me? You know, you made Instagram, you know? Yeah. And you can come up with a litany of different excuses and even be kafoy toe for all these things. And the list go on and on and on. You know, that's the way it is. But today, on Yom Kippur, when we say the words Aval and Nachnu Hashem, we're saying, no, we're coming with Hashem to Torah. We're coming to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to get rid of all the Avals. There's no more Avals in our lives. This is who we are. Yom Kippur is the one day. You know, it's like you wipe away all the soot. And there's no more rationalizations. Here we are. This is the real me. And all those other things. But the root of the crime is always from an Aval. I mean, people justify the craziest things. Again, when you see, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, and again, it's not a political statement. I'm not here to make a political statement at all. But if somebody gets shot, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate, does it warrant a reaction of looting, of storming stores, of doing all kinds of inappropriate things? Ella, that's already there, and that's used as an excuse, and that's the aval that causes all of that terrible behavior. So the aval is always there in the room. And they justify it, saying, I'm not really a bad person, I'm just doing this to further a cause, or whatever it is. That's where the aval is. Listen to this message about Cain and Hevel. So Cain kills Hevel, and Hashem doesn't punish him. Rather, he says, where is Hevel, your brother? So what does Cain say? He says, everybody knows this line. Hashem rachi anochi. But listen to the message. The message continues. It says, Hashem, you're the protector of all life, and you're asking me. Right? You're the one who keeps you alive. I killed him, but you gave me the Eitz Hara. Continues. You are supposed to say everyone, and you let me kill him. Continues. You are the one that killed him. Had you accepted my korban initially, I would have been jealous of him. Again, the Ava, why did he do tshuva? Because he didn't accept ownership or culpability for the role of the murder. I have to take off once again. You see this notion that people always blame the other person. Who do you blame in this case? He blamed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you would have taken my korban, if you would have... You see this idea all the time, and in your own head, go back to any Avera you've done, and Kemat, at the moment you're doing the Avera, there's been that justification at some point, there's been that rationalization. I should quote him by name, but last year when I was preparing this, I got a call from a young psychologist. A up-and-coming psychologist. So this is what they tell you in psychology school. Again, I know very little about psychology, but I know enough to ask a psychologist. So he says like this. So this is standard. Generally, when people come in to see a therapist, they have all kinds of rationalizations for their bad behavior. That's like standard operating procedures. So when a patient comes in, what do they try to do? They try to justify their behaviors. So what is the role of the therapist? Which is essentially the same thing before you came. But the role of the therapist is what he calls, it's to move them to a position what he calls self-compassion. Self-compassion is when you own, when you take responsibility for your actions and you make it yours. So this is the idea that therapy is doing. It's called self-compassion. Ain't sadik baratz shalo yechta. There's no such thing as a person in this world who doesn't sin. Everybody sins. But the goal is to own it, to make it yours, in order that you could actually rectify it. Okay? Now, there's a famous, probably one of the greatest Baalei Teshuva of all time. There's a fellow by the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai. Right? So the whole Gemara is a fascinating Gemara. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, where Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai does something that is pretty heinous. I'll read the Gemara outside. He once hears that there is a woman of ill repute. So he takes some money to go find her. Whatever, while they're engaged in relations, something happens. Amra, she says to him, just like this wind that I passed won't go back to his place. Elazar ben Dudai will never get tshuva. So what does he do? He goes to two mountains. He goes to Harim v'Gvaos. He goes to the mountains and he goes to the Gvaos, mountains and valleys. And he says, "Nu, daven for me." They said, "No, we're not going to daven for you. You have to daven for yourself." Okay. Goes to the Shemayim and the Aretz. Goes all the way to the skies and the land. And he says, "Nu, daven for me." So they spin back. Ki Shemayim ka'asha nimluchu va'aretz kebeget tibola. We get worn away. You have to daven for yourself. You got to doubt for yourself. He continues. He goes all to the satellites, to the stars and the satellites. He says, "Doubt for me." Nope, we're not going to doubt for you until you doubt for yourself. What does he do? Listen to these words. Amr, ein hadavr toloi elabi. It's all up to me. Hiniach Rosha ben Birkov. He puts his head between his knees. V'ga'a b'bechi, and he gives out a cracks. And he cries, Adjiyatza neshmasa. Until his neshama goes out, and then the bas kol goes out, and is able to merit olam haba. Strange Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai. What's he doing going to mountains? What is all this going to heaven and earth, mountains and valleys, luminaries? What's he trying to accomplish? Why don't he just initially go himself and ask for mechila like a regular person? So listen to Rabbi Frank in an old drasha. Rabbi Fred in Old Drasha says the following. This is a remarkable Torah. He says, the mountain and hills, those represent the people who came before him. That's the parents, the grandparents. So, what's your first line of defense when you do something wrong? Right? It's not my fault. It's when my parents raised me. See, whenever I do something wrong, my parents yell at me. They say, it's not my fault. Look at the way you raised me. Right? I did it jokingly. But when you don't want to take ownership of it, you blame the people above you. Look at the situation and the scenario that I was placed in. This is the first people to blame. The heaven and earth, so that's your community. The heaven and earth, they're the people around you. They're the ones in your environment. So that caused you to go off your derech, right? You know, I get calls like this all the time. The parents call me up and say, don't put my kid with that guy. Because I'm like, what about your kid? Your kid's got a pretty big influence on that guy also. No, but it's always the other guy we're worried about. So it's always much easier to blame the other guy than to blame yourself. So that's two. And then finally, he looks at the stars, the satellites, the mazalos. What's the mazal? That's the fate that you're born with. That's your personality type, so to speak. The mazal that you have. So Soloveitchik used the term, you know, goral, your lot. And there's you. So you, listen, I'd love to learn more Gemara, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu just didn't give me the hay. So you can rationalize that away also. He said, no, you got to do it for yourself. So he tries his parents, he tries his community, he tries his personality. Then he realizes, finally, what's the only way to do tshuva? Ein hadavr toloi elabi. It's only up to me. And at that moment, he zeroes in and he hones in and he realizes, I got to say tshuva on all the avals, and all the things I used to think were their faults. It's all up to me. And at that moment, it empowers him, and he's able to do tshuva, and he's able to be accepted, like a David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech said, it's all up to me. Chatasi, there's nobody else to blame. Shaul blames everybody. He blames the people. David blames nobody. That's the aval in all of the various places. And this is, I think, the biggest lesson of Yom Kippur. The biggest lesson of Yom Kippur is that Eina Dover Tali Elabi, it's all up to you. When you say the words aval, it takes away all the different avals of our lives. You know, I'll never forget, one time I was in Israel, and quite frankly, I don't know, I drive in Israel, but I still don't know what half the signs mean. The blue and the yellow, I guess. So one time I was in the middle of a street, and apparently cars were coming right at me, and I was a place I wasn't supposed to be. And a guy rolls down his window, and he's about to start yelling at me. About to, you know, like a good Israeli. So I roll down my window, and I say, Taiti. He looks at me, he's about to start yelling, and he says, have a good day. Right? Because I disarmed him. What is he going to do? You ever get into it? When some people argue with each other when they don't want to admit they're wrong, and that's the argument that causes arguments to escalate. But the second you own up to what you've done, you've disarmed the other person. Because it's your fault. What else do they do? People want to. Most of the time when people argue, they're not arguing to prove you wrong so much, they're arguing to prove themselves right. So, like, all right, they're right. They win. Shame. But what are you going to do? You got a guy admitting he's wrong, and that's the end of the game. So when you own the Avera, when you own the argument and say you're wrong, there's nothing else to talk about. So I was talking to another Rebbe today, and he asked me the following question. Okay, to, you know, Shalom Bayis, he says, what do you tell a guy if his wife wants to do something that he doesn't want to do, that he doesn't feel is like up to the religious standard of the household? Again, we're not talking something about that's keneged halacha, but we're talking about something that's, you know, something that he doesn't want in his house, and his wife says we want, you know, that's it, it's happening, whatever it is. So he says, what's the advice to the guy? I said, he's got to figure out why she wants it, which means that what is he doing wrong that she feels that she could bring that into the house? Because if he was living up to the standards that he wanted, it never would be introduced, like the great Marshall. You know, sometimes the guy's like upset because during his vacation he's getting schlepped all over the place. There's no time, not even to learn for an hour. So, I said, did the guy watch the Met game last night? You know, so if the guy watched the Met game last night, of course the wife's not going to mind to schlep him around because, like, he's showing that in his time he's not so concerned about each and every minute. The easiest way, the only thing that we can affect anyway, is that which we have done wrong. And that which we have done wrong, we can fix. But if we keep putting in the avals and rationalizing things, we're never able to fix any of our problems. Because they're not our problems. They're problems on the outside, and you can't fix those. So the best thing to do is to figure out why it's our fault all the time, and then to try to figure out how to solve it, because then it's beyond chod, then it's your hand. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. It's about coming clean. We say the words aval and achdu, but we come to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're saying the words, but it's our fault. We're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu, please forgive us for all the times we said but throughout the year. We're no longer saying, we're not going to rationalize anything we've done. We're going to own up to it. So then we can move ahead, and then we can forge, hopefully, better relationships with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, better relationships with our spouses, better relationship with our kids, better relationship with our partners, all kinds of better relationships. If we put the ball in our court, then it's in our court. But if it's not in our court, there's nothing we can do about it. So you might as well put the ball in your court and say, okay, the reason why we sinned or we did something wrong was my fault. Now how am I going to fix it? It is so empowering to take this approach. And finally, Rav Zev Dudai gets to that. He says, Aval. He says, En Adavar Toli Elavi. That's the biggest message. That's the message of David HaMelech. David HaMelech comes and says, Chatasi Lefanech. I've sinned. And it's so empowering because David HaMelech was able to improve after that. So let's just build it. This Yom Kippur, we recognize that all the foibles in our lives are ours. And that Yom Kippur shouldn't just be recognizing the foibles, but also be a Kabbalah, which means that we accept upon ourselves for the future that we should get better and better. That next year, we don't have to say the word Allah. We don't have to say Hashanah, because we're at a place, hopefully, where we have moved on from the Avet. Have a good Zinti Yor.